Welcome in City Councilman Ty Lucas joining us here in the studio. Good morning, Councilman. How have you been?
Great. Good morning. It's great to see George here, and it's great to be here with you guys.
Now, before we talk about some city issues, Councilman Lucas, let's talk about the Junior Ambassadors Golf Tournament, which is officially underway. Yesterday was the inaugural day, and we were talking off the air. A great turnout this year for the golf tournament as well.
Yeah, big turnout. For those who can't see, I'm sporting my ambassador golf shirt today, which I wear very proudly. I love being part of the Chamber Ambassadors and everything they do. But, yeah, we've got over 90 kids signed up this year, and that's been kind of the high point of that tournament over the years. It's funny, we had 42 signed up about a week ago, and then all of a sudden it doubled over the course of the last week. And, you know, real credit to the Chamber Ambassadors because, you know, the tournament, we weren't sure if we were going to be able to have. Obviously, you want to have positive activities for kids to do and outside.
Sure.
Nebraska Junior Golf put out a very detailed guidance on how to properly hold an event. So about a month ago, Chamber Ambassadors decided to go ahead and go forward with it. And it's just, so far it's gone great. We've had great play, very positive energy from kids, parents. Everybody's been following the protocols very well. So it's just great. Really great play yesterday in the upper high school kids. I think we have 8 or 9 kids within 4 or 5 shots of lead going into today, which is day 2, which the tournament will finalize. We had 3 girls shoot right around 80 yesterday and leading that group. We had a young man in the really youth group shoot a 6 over 41 on 9 holes for a kid his age. It was an extraordinary round. And
get the autograph now.
Yeah, I'm going to be keeping my eye on this kid. His high school career looks pretty promising. But no, it was just fun. You know, the Chamber Ambassadors are a great organization because of what they do to support the community and the chamber. But the focus of this tournament is not about golf. It's about teaching kids to try something they haven't tried before,
mm-hmm.
and to put themselves out there and to not be, you know, be strong and be brave and go out there in front of everybody and swing a golf club even if they've never played in a tournament before. And so it's been fun. I've been on the committee for a long time, and we really enjoy getting to know the kids, and in particular watching how gut-wrenching it is the first time they try it, and then year after year how much more they get comfortable. We hope that follows them later in life too.
And that great progression, because the thing I love about the sport of golf is it's a sport that you can play well into your older years.
It is, and it's also a sport that if kids aren't naturally interested in team competitive sports, it's a sport that they can get into, which has team aspects but also has individual aspects. I know it's been wonderful for my oldest son, and it's just fun to see all the kids out there trying so hard. If you think about what it's like to be 10 years old and going up to the first tee in front of all those parents and the ambassadors and everybody watching, it takes some guts, and so I really have respect for those kids.
It does. That's a life lesson that you can learn doing that, and you put a lot of heart into this tournament every year. You're always good about sending results over to the media, and we appreciate that, Ty.
Well, fortunately, we have a committee of about 6 of us, and we've all worked on this together for 7 or 8 years. We don't even have to have meetings anymore. Everybody just knows their job, and it just happens. And we have wonderful sponsorship. We had over $7,400 worth of business sponsorship, not to mention everything the media does to help us promote it. And so it's really a community effort, and it's one of the best tournaments in the state. We hear that over and over from people across the state.
You guys are a well-oiled machine when you get that many years working the same event together. You guys just have it down to a T. Pun intended.
Yeah, we do, and God bless Matt Hazenauer and Josh Harm. They handle the operations of the tournament and the rules and getting the kids started and everything, and that's the big effort. So,
now, Councilman Lucas, let's move into some city issues here. Obviously, have the North Platte City Council meeting this evening. A lot of general housekeeping items on the agenda, but one hot topic that caught your attention we were talking about before the show started.
Yeah, tonight there's an informative session for the council on the adaptation of the property maintenance code overhaul. This is a really big item, and I think a little history on this is, you guys might remember maybe a year ago or so, there was a Freedom of Information Act by a local attorney in regards to property maintenance, and then a group formed. And they were looking at the housing study, and they came to the city and said, hey, one of the things we can really do to help housing quality and supply in North Platte is to enforce, more diligently enforce the ordinances we have related to property maintenance, and let's make sure that there aren't landlords out there who are taking advantage of people who don't have the finances or the credit or whatever to move to a different house. Let's make sure they have heat or they don't have, you know, holes in their front door or whatever. And so it definitely got Mayor Livingston's attention. He formed a committee to work on this. I think that committee's done some very good work. And now they're presenting a code overhaul for the ordinances of the city regarding existing property maintenance. As I was telling you off the air, this is going to be a really interesting discussion because you are going to get into the more government versus less government discussions.
Sure.
I do expect the council to be potentially divided on some of this. You know, my personal feelings is that I do think the city having oversight on property maintenance is important, but I'm also very sensitive to where landlords and the overall free market system are at too. So tonight, I really don't have an opinion yet on the code overhaul, but I've got a lot of questions to get answered as we go through this process of looking at it. I think what's catching my attention is that they want to eliminate the existing property maintenance code and adopt an international code standard, which then has several customizations that the local group. I know our city administrator has formed a committee to focus just on this issue, and the Planning Commission has been looking at it. And so I just want to make sure everybody in the community, especially if you're a landlord or somebody interested in this topic, please be watching this. Please be providing us feedback. Participate in the public hearings. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to do that because a code overhaul is a big deal because it could change existing rules on something that somebody has on an existing piece of property, which may create more costs or less costs if they're trying to do a remodel or some type of project. So this is a really important item, and the council is going to need to be on point for this one.
This is a discussion item tonight, right?
Yeah, I don't believe there's any proposed action. So I think the process is tonight they're bringing this to the council so we can ask questions and understand. Get a good look at it, which I really appreciate the way they're going about that. And then it'll go to the Planning Commission next week for, I believe, a public hearing. And then it would come back to the City Council, and I think it would be a three-reading type of items. So this is going to be on the agendas probably over the next, you know, month or two.
Yeah, okay. Well, this has been a hot item for, like you say, more than a year probably, and a controversial issue all that time. Kind of goes to the heart of does a private property owner, you know, how many rights do they have and how much determination can they have in how their property is maintained and built, and how much right, on the other hand, does the city or the public entity have to come in and make some rules and enforce them? So that's a pretty basic fundamental issue in this country, and here it is coming right down. They say most important politics is local, and this is a pretty good example.
It's a really, really good example, of that.
And I'm glad you're taking such an interest in it, want to inform the public, because yeah, you know, you can see both sides of it if you take a good look at it, and you got to come down on the side that's that makes the most sense and does the best, most good for people. And there are a lot of renters that are real concerned and don't really feel they kind of get boxed in, don't really feel like they have any place to go. So,
and renters could also be concerned. They might be concerned that if there's heavier enforcement of new ordinances, that their rent might go up as a result of it. So there can be a lot of perspective. You know, I would tell you where this issue starts. I always try to think about what's the why on things. Why are things happening, or why are things becoming issues? This really ties back to our community still being undersupplied in newer housing. If you think about it, if you have housing that doesn't have heat or has big holes in the walls or floor or doors or whatever, and those landlords are still getting reasonable rent every month for that particular property, well, why is that? It's because the tenants don't really have anywhere else to go, and ultimately that ties back to our community continuing to be undersupplied on housing. And so that's truly the root of this, because if our market had historically normal vacancy rates, this problem would probably take care of itself for the most part. But, you know, after listening to people from the hospital and from the school system and some of the reports they've made about the conditions of some rental properties, I think there is a need for the city to have some basic oversight and enforcement abilities on certain items. But it's a careful balance when you get into these types of things.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add for this meeting coming up tonight, Councilman Lucas?
No, I guess I would just add that we start budget hearings on Thursday, and the budget's going to be a real grind this year just because of concerns about revenue.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like all the department heads and city administrator and the mayor are taking the bull by the horn from everything I've heard about it. So it's going to be a grueling session because I think there's going to be a lot of tough decisions that have to get made, but we'll be starting. So I think that's primarily what council's focused on right now.
And I think that the department heads, too, for the most part, understand this is a tough year, and they're going to tighten their budgets as much as possible, and then Mr. Kibben may tighten them a little bit more, and then the council may tighten them a little bit more, but I think everybody understands it's going to be a tough year.
It is, but it's also a good time to slim up where we can, and I know I was listening to Senator Groney's report yesterday. Mm-hmm. And what he said's right is the best thing you can do for the economy is have people pay less taxes. And so I think as a city council member, it's how do we still provide public safety, quality city services, but try to do it in the most cost-effective way we can and run the city just like a business would look at things. And so, yeah, I think everybody's got the same goal. Now we all just need to work together to figure out how to accomplish it.
Well, Ty, we always appreciate the time here in the studio. If one of your constituents wants to get a hold of you or anybody here in the city of North Platte wants to get a hold of you at some point here in the coming week to pick your brain about a topic or to maybe put a bug in your ear, how can they do so?
Give me a call, 534-5987. Like I always say, I work during the week, so leave me a message and I'll return your call typically in an evening I do a lot of phone call returns on Saturdays as well. And if it's something that's time urgent on an agenda item, just leave that in the message and I will certainly get back to you. I love to hear from people.
Well, Ty, good luck tonight. George, you have something else?
Yeah, before we leave this budget thing, can you lay out a little bit of how this works through the city council? I think Thursday night's a work session, right? And it's the first kind of gathering where you all get together.
Right?
Yeah, where you all get together and look at the budget. So
yeah,
what happens then?
So Thursday there's a first work session, and that's when they will present the budget and the formatting and all that. The budget's very complex. I mean, working here at Nebraska Land Bank's headquarters, I work with complex budgets every year. But I'll tell you, the city's is a whole nother level. I mean, it is a very complex budget.
Well, you just think how complex your personal budget can be, and then multiply that times 10.
Go to 33 million in revenue at the city, and that doesn't even include the municipal light and water. And so Thursday is really to get us familiar with the budget and the formatting. That's where we'll be given our budget books at that point. Then a week later, there's another work session on health insurance particular, and that's a huge line item at the city because personnel costs are the highest cost of the city, and then health insurance is the most expensive benefit. So next Thursday, there's going to be a work session regarding the health plan in particular and the details associated with that. And then we will start to go into the public hearing process. And, I didn't bring my schedule with me, but there's 1 week, I think it's the second week of August, where there's up to three nights designated. We didn't need all three nights last year, but there are three nights for public hearing, budget hearings. And so basically you go through a number of hearings, and then you get to the point where the council needs to approve the budget, which is usually right around September 1st, I believe. And so, the process will really kick off this week. I know over the last couple months, the department heads have really been doing their part. Now it will start to shift to the council.
Well, Ty, we appreciate you breaking that down for us. Look forward to seeing you again next month. And good luck out on the golf course today, too.
Yeah,
I get to go out there for a little bit this morning. And it's so much fun to see the kids. It's a highlight every year. So,
thanks, Ty. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yep.
More coming up on Mugs of the Morning after this on KOD.
The NBA reported great news.